Welcome all Wahoos and ACC fans. Here we go. Who's talking? We're near the end of the season here. And unfortunately for the Cavalier basketball team, last night the bell tolled and the season ended.
Rather abruptly.
Unfortunately. And sadly. And it was hard to take.
Unexpectedly. I thought today was going to be a joyous show, you know, as we looked forward to the Final Four for the first time in 32 years. But it was not to be. It's unfortunate, and a lot of people are still asking, what happened?
What the heck?
That's why we have Terry Gates here to tell us right here in the studio what happened. But I said earlier, I'm somewhere between shock and depression because, Terry can speak to that. I mean, it's so hard to get to this position, you know, and particularly as college basketball has more and more good teams. To get to the Elite Eight, particularly in Virginia's situation yesterday where they were favored to go to the Final Four. You got a senior-laden team, so it's, you know, I'm not saying Tony Bennett's not going to get back to the Elite Eight, but it's probably not going to be next year. So it seemed like this was our opportunity, and we didn't seize it. What do you think?
Opportunity wasted. You know, it's you know, there's a song, Manic Monday, but I think this is Miserable Monday.
Yeah.
I can tell, you know, it's there's a calm to it. It's been a really strange day. It's been, you know, I got to work today. I said, I don't even want to talk about it. Of course, there's a Carolina fan two doors down, and jeez.
No, I mean, it's hard.
I told him to stay in his blank room and don't come out.
You know, you really, in many ways, you don't want to talk about it because it's
painful.
It hurts. You know, you and I are part of the Virginia basketball family, and you know, we're not directly involved anymore, but still, you feel part of the group, and you know it.
I got a theory.
You could really taste it. You could taste it.
I got a theory for you. Just, I want to throw this out.
Oh, my God.
Here comes Frank's theory.
Not for the game itself.
Just a theory in general. Okay. This is right. Good.
I think part of the problem for all the Wahoos last night and today.
It was global warming. No.
it's a simple case of these guys were easy to like. We grew to become very attached to them.
To the players, you mean?
These players. Of course. I'm not talking about the cheerleaders, Hob Good.
Well, I speak
fondly. I know you did. I know you did back in the
cheerleaders. I married one, so I always have to say nice things about cheerleaders.
Well, she had no choice.
I was a gentleman, okay?
Chased her all around U-Haul. But
you've got a point there. What I would agree to is, like, last year, the expectations in January when they were rolling and they had Justin prior to breaking his – I mean, there was expectations on that team. They hadn't lost some games. They're on a roll.
They were on the lower cover of Sports Illustrated.
There's physical, you know, you get worn down during the year, but there's some mental things there, and they never recovered without Justin. They weren't special. They were very good without him, but they weren't special. He could do things that no one else could do. And that was, I think, part of the problem this year, that we remembered that group without Justin, how special they were, what they could do defensively. Then there was rule changes. You lost 5 seconds off the shot clock. You had the no hands. It changed those three games in January, losing to Tech on a Monday night. Castle, and it's half full.
You know, eventually, with the passage of time, we can look back, and I mean, this is a team that started 2-3 in the ACC. But you know, you get here.
You still
had. I mean, it was just set up. Michigan State got beat early. Utah, and I was probably guilty of going into the weekend thinking that Iowa State was going to be maybe a bigger challenge than Gonzaga or Syracuse.
Iowa State lost 11 games. Virginia does. And I tell you one thing, when you had the paper articles about Tony Bennett's father, and he said, you know, what his grandfather would have said is, do not tiptoe into this game. They didn't against Iowa State, but they tiptoed into the Syracuse game the first 4 or 5 minutes, and they kind of tiptoed around the second half. They weren't sharp.
And they were tentative.
I'll tell you this, but you have to give Syracuse a lot of credit. They're not getting the credit. And when you look at the box scores here and the play-by-play, they had two freshmen score 34 points last night. Half of their points, Tyler Linden came off the bench. He was the kid shooting the two free throws there at the end, got a rebound. But he's 3 of 7, you know, 3 of 5 from the three-point line. He makes his free throws. But you've got to give them credit because they only shot 42% in the second half, yet they've scored 10 straight possessions. So you tell me how that works out. And there were some free throws early that got Richardson, you know, he made four free throws to start the second half in the first 5 minutes. He only had 2 points in the first half, but it's unbelievable how Virginia gives up 20 points in 3 minutes and 42 seconds.
Well, give Boeheim credit. You know,
a lot of credit.
He went to the press. Now, he would probably argue he had no choice because he said in the postgame, you know, you're down 15, 9.5 minutes to go. If you just continue to have a half-court game, you're gonna lose
right.
either by 20 or by 6 or 7. So he made the move. And I always say, you know, pressure defense has two objectives. One is to force turnovers if you can, and they did force a couple of turnovers.
About four.
But the other thing it does is it speeds the tempo, and Virginia kind of fell into the trap of when they did beat the Syracuse pressure, they went ahead and attacked the rim, and unfortunately, they didn't always finish at the rim.
Sometimes. Well, early on, they attacked, and you had the hop. They called on Anthony Gill for a walk, and then
but they had a couple of blocks, too. I think Brogdon took it to the basket.
Well, Darius took it to the basket, and he was a two-on-one, and all of a sudden, he stripped from behind. Great play by Syracuse. But, you know, you can't press if you don't make a basket.
Well, that's true.
You can't.
You know, they made shots. They made shots. A couple of them were deep threes that were even contested. So, again, you know, they made – and that's really what the NCAA tournament is about. It's about making plays.
Well, hold on. Malachi Richardson scored 21 points in the second half.
Yep.
And he was guarded by the defensive player of the year in the ACC.
Well,
Hold on. Most of those.
Before you get too excited about Malachi, he was 6 of 16.
Don't make any difference.
Hold on. It isn't like the guy was in fuego. The problem was they got a lot of offensive rebounds, which Virginia never does. The Hoos never give up offensive rebounds to other teams. And at one point, there was a sequence, I believe, where they took either 3 or 4 shots within 8 seconds. I felt like that was the end of the game almost. There was a panic.
But let's go back to Malachi. You're right, he's 6 of 16, but he hits 3 3-point shots in the second half, and he makes 8 of 9 free throws. And that is a pretty good evening. He got 7 rebounds, and he's 6'6", and he weighs 200 pounds, and he's probably 18, maybe 19 now.
He jumps through the roof.
Yeah, he's athletic. Yeah.
I'll flat out say this. This is not an excuse. This was an observation. At about 9:48 left in the game, Syracuse was in the bonus.
Yep.
Now, all I got to say about that is, where is the respect, particularly in a rough tumble game like that, where all of a sudden, I mean, I remember the play where Jarius Thompson got stripped from behind. After he got stripped, though, when he turned to go back to get on the ball, Lydon fell on his back. That's a foul. They didn't call that. There was a play where Isaiah Wilkins, had a rebound, offensive rebound, underneath the basket to the left side of the hoop. He tried to go up. Two men smothered him and held him down and then took the ball from him. You can't grab a guy's head and not get a foul.
Well, and Terry could speak to that. I thought there were a few times where Toby was close to the basket and might have got fouled. And
he
got roughed up twice.
He got two offensive rebounds, then he gets a foul called on him. But, you know, these officials know the players. They know their strengths. And I will say this about Syracuse. They attacked the basket, Frank. So those fouls in the get to the bonus – I would think the majority of those were 2-shot fouls. So
yes or no doesn't matter to me. I will say Brogdon drove and tried to drive repeatedly, and they over-guarded him.
There was a couple of plays where I thought that maybe the Syracuse defender got the ball, but there was some body contact.
Which a lot of times
during the season, Brogdon was getting the benefit of that whistle, but he
didn't
get
season,
it last night.
This is getting to the Final Four. It's,
yeah, NCAA tournament, the officials
different.
Are not going to blow the whistle the same way.
Well,
I can remember we did it, and you're used to ACC officials, and we went down to the old Charlotte Coliseum, and you're playing Villanova. And you get shoved out of bounds the first two plays. And wait a minute, I can do that? As long as I can do that back to you, I'm okay. But you couldn't do that the first 30 games of the year.
But clearly the officials didn't make the 3-point baskets for Syracuse.
No, they didn't.
They made the shots.
Those didn't decide the game. The problem was
– They helped.
It helped. But if you recall, I can go back and I can look at my notes that I took during the game. I remember Devin Hall going to the line with a 1-1 and – You know, that's a whole lot different than watching some of the Syracuse players go in line knowing that they had 2 shots.
But that was a key one-on-one.
Syracuse
missed the front end pretty badly.
You know, they shoot 42% from the field in the second half, from the floor, but they're 5 of 9 from the three-point area. They were 16 of 18 from the free throw line.
And that's because they took 25 free throws, folks.
Eight,
12 for Virginia. I'm sorry. It was the craziest thing. And at the 9:48 mark, I realized it was going to be very hard for Virginia to defend them. And people were saying, well, you know, they drove. Well, of course they can drive. Syracuse knew that if they were driving to the basket, the whistle, they were going to get a whistle or they're going to get a good shot.
Well, the bottom line is Virginia had a 15-point lead with 9.5 minutes to go.
And then
with the final four on the line.
And if you score a point and a half per minute, you score 15 points, you win.
Yeah.
They score 8
Well, what was
points.
The run, like 29-4 or something like that at one point in time?
It was from the 9:32 when Perantes hits a three, they're up 54-39.
Right.
When Richardson makes the layup, they go down one. It's a 20-4 run
right.
in 3 minutes and 42 seconds.
That was the amazing thing is that how quick
20 points
how quick
they scored
the lead
21
evaporated.
Points. They scored 21 points the first
half.
20 minutes.
Yeah.
Yes, so they scored 20 in under 4. Think about that, Frank.
Yeah,
20 under 4.
I know.
I mean it's.
I'm tracking that. I wrote on several places in my notes. Fouls, question mark, non-calls, bodies flying, no whistle. If the team with the ball, that's not the reason.
It hurt. It didn't help, but, you know, I mean, Virginia clearly just didn't finish the game. And, I mean, and I think the thing that's so disappointing about it is it's so out of character. You know, Virginia's a team that we talk about wearing people down and so forth. And generally, the Cavs over the last several years have just been extraordinary in preserving leads like that.
Well, and, you know, to Tony's credit, in all these years, they've built this foundation of methodically working the ball, playing good, solid, fundamental defense around the court without fouling. I mean, Virginia has been known as one of the few teams in the country that plays tough.
Well, I don't think it was a foul. I think it was the tempo. The Syracuse in the last 9.5 minutes managed to change the tempo of the game
and Virginia,
more to their favor and away from the way Virginia wanted to play.
Okay, so what? To me, that's what Kenny Smith said in the studio, and he never watches college basketball. I'm saying to you here at this point, Virginia became more and more tentative as the press wore on. Because Syracuse was allowed to play more aggressively, when Virginia tried to make plays down near the basket, they weren't getting any calls. Toby turned around at one point. He got fouled by two men on that rebound.
Yeah, I mean, there were a couple of times.
He looked at Tony like, what do I do?
Yeah.
So I put that to bed. I'm just saying
it rubs
me the wrong way. And
but if you look down the play-by-play, you see Benajay hitting two free throws. You see Malachi Richardson's hitting two free throws. I think you had the layup by Darius Thompson. We get the 56-43, and then you get the Anthony Gill hop walk. You get the strip from Darius Thompson. Then you've got two more free throws for Tyler Roberson. Then you get a turnover by London. I mean, you got four turnovers there in about 2 minutes. And then when they take the lead and go slightly ahead, you've got three offensive rebounds down the stretch. And you have the Devin Hall missing the front end of a 1-1. And there's nothing in that play-by-play that remotely
resembles Virginia the whole season.
Well, forget that, but nothing in there is positive.
No.
Nothing.
No,
except Toby getting a lot of offensive. I mean,
it's almost like they're panicked.
And you know what's interesting?
They saw the game slipping away, and they panicked and got totally away from the way they have played.
Well, the whole thing was uncharacteristic. There were people making bad passes, people making a pass to somebody, and the guy dropping the ball. You know, how many times did you see someone make a pass to somebody and they bobbled the ball? It didn't happen all season.
Let's go this. Syracuse in that 2-3 zone, you don't see it very much. We saw it just once this year. They didn't play bad in January. And actually, from that UVA loss, they won like 4 or 5 games in a row. But they limited Gill to four shots. He was 4 for 4 in 24 minutes. Wilkins 0-3. Devin Hall 1-5. Brogdon 2-14.
Well, nothing. some of attacking a zone, it's sort of like football, the complimentary run and pass.
Yeah.
If you start making a few perimeter shots, sometimes you can get that zone to expand and go farther out and may give you the opportunity to get a little high-low game in the post.
But, arg.
All right.
Arg.
All right, we're going to jump to our first break. I think we've beat this up quite a bit. We'll come back here in the second segment and talk about some other things relative to the NCAAs. In the next segment after that, in the next half hour, we're going to bring on Chris Horn from the Sabre, talk about UVA football recruiting, and there is some news there. Stay with us. This is Who's Talking.